Hey, everybody, welcome to Unpaid Movie Critics. This is the podcast where two friends are sitting down and talking about movies. We're going to do some reviews. We're going to talk about some general film information and things that we like to talk about, and basically give you a sneak peek of what we actually talk about on the phone that in our private life, we're just said, hey, screw it. We're going to put it up for the public. And I think that's awesome. I'm here with the incomparable Miss Becky Fixel from week99er.com. I feel like there should be an applause button. Like, yay.
Maybe we can get sound effects. Maybe we'll get fancy someday.
There you go.
There we go.
Becky runs a really amazing site where she talks about reviews, general in-person events, and really cool stuff. And she's also just became part of the Detroit Movie Critics. Is that correct, Becky?
Detroit Film Critics Society.
Detroit Film Critics Society.
I know, that sounds super fancy.
She is very fancy. Yes, I am not that fancy.
No.
But Becky is.
And Mike runs Mike the Fanboy, where he goes to in-person events throughout LA and meets celebrities, gets their signatures, and as well as doing some movie reviews as well as giveaways on his site. Now, that's been a little hindered since the pandemic. So
what? There's a pandemic?
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Well, you know, it's almost been 2 years since we've seen each other. So
it really has. It's really kind of crazy because Becky would come in a lot to LA and I would avoid Detroit. And so there was that kind of a great juxtaposition.
You would avoid Detroit. That is so horrible.
I know. Well, let me tell you, I'm from Detroit, which is ironic. Here's the irony. Becky is from the outskirts of Detroit. I am personally from Detroit. And we never met each other while we were both in the same area. We moved literally across the country and became friends by working on some influencer projects and different things.
Do you remember the line that you knew we would be friends?
Hi.
Do you remember?
No.
You sent me an email and I forget what it was. It was for one of the campaigns you were running. And you said something, and my reply back was, "You're killing me, Smalls."
Ah.
And right there, that was it. Yep. And I don't even know how many years ago that was.
It had to have been a long time because, I mean, we've been probably doing stuff together since like 2008, 2009.
Oh, I started my site in 2011.
So it would probably be right when you started your site.
Yeah, it was pretty soon after that.
It was pretty quick. Because I've been doing influencer marketing since 2008-ish.
That's a long time.
I know. I did it right when I was born. And so that really affected a lot of things. It was literally like as a zygote. I popped out and was like, hey, everybody.
So what cracks me up is you saying that, and you know, and I'm laughing at the movies that we both chose this week, because the movies are both from the 90s, which...
Yes.
Okay, which makes sense. But for me, when your favorite movie came out, let me see, what year was that? I have them on the screen next to me. I was 13. So.
I was 8. So it's interesting. Well, actually, okay. So these are two movies. We're going to talk about two movies today. One that is Becky's quote unquote favorite. I don't have a favorite movie. So I just love too many things to actually assign a favorite. So I kind of put all my favorites in a giant category saying, this is awesome. And that's it. So I have to paraphrase that because there's just no way I can choose.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I said, choose one of your favorites. This one, mine is my favorite movie, which I find watching it again and again, you know, it changes a little bit each time I watch it. Your choice that you sent is one I had never seen. I'd never heard of. And it's very interesting. It shows very much the difference in our movie taste right there. Just
right. Well, okay. So let's start with yours because okay. I rewatched yours last night and I had seen it a long time ago. Becky's favorite movie is Benny and June with Johnny Depp, Mary Stuart Masterson, Aidan Quinn, Julianne Moore.
Right.
And
which I didn't know, like when I first seen it, I mean, that one came out in 93. So, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 11. I don't think I knew who Julianne Moore was. I don't think she was as popular. Obviously, people didn't know her as well. So I was like, oh, you know, I like her. She's, you know, I'm 11. I'm like, she's a pretty lady, you know, whatever. But growing up, like seeing that movie, and I don't even know, I think I must have been a little older when I seen it than 11, but like, for me, it was this kind of cute love story between this awkward artist and, you know, and this eccentric boy and stuff. It wasn't until later that, like, the mental health side of it and, you know, and disabilities actually kind of played into it. So watching it now through today's lenses is a little different.
Oh, very much. You know, that was actually, I didn't remember that aspect.
Right.
I remembered the Johnny Depp stuff where he was being Buster Keaton and the fact that he has the most amazing hair in cinema history.
Well, this
in this movie.
Is this before or this is after, what was the movie he was in? This is obviously before Tim Burton took over his life.
I think this was post Jump Street. And okay. He did Crybaby with John
Waters. That's the one I was trying to think of the name of.
Another quirky one. And I think he did this one and Edward Scissorhands almost right around the same exact time. I don't remember which one was released first. I'm
scrolling through his
I want to say it was Scissorhands because I think this one kind of got lost in the shuffle a little. I think more people would have found it if it wasn't for Edward Scissorhands.
Yes, it came out right before What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Gilbert Grape, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, yes. And Scissorhands and Jump Street were both 1990 and Crybaby was 1990. So,
yes.
You know, he was known, but I mean, compared to the roles we see him in now, this is so different.
It is. It was like his impish phase where he was doing these kind of like, you know, I think Gilbert Grape, I think this Benny and June and Edward Scissorhands are very similar in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this one sort of got shuffled away because Gilbert Grape was so popular. And also, obviously, Edward Scissorhands was this fantastical, you know, it was just this sweet love story. And he did this other love story that was kind of under the radar. And it was a sleeper hit. I mean, it made money and it was really good. But it definitely got overshadowed, I think, a little bit by Edward Scissorhands. Unfortunately so, because I think it didn't deserve it.
Well, and I know anybody that, you know, when they ask, you know, occasionally talking to other people in the movie industry, they'll ask what your favorite movie is. And I say this one, and I either get the really, cause that, you know, they just think it's a weird movie, or a lot of people say, oh, that's a good one. And like I said, through today's eyes watching it, you know, they never really call out what exactly June has wrong with her. You know, she has some incapacity and her family and friends just accept it and take care of her, which right now, I think maybe it hit different when I watched it last week because, you know, a lot of people are struggling over the last 2 years.
Right.
So, you know, that aspect of it, it was that support system that was very good to see. And I like Aidan Quinn, you know, later seeing him, I forget which cop show he was on, but he, you know, that one, it's interesting to see their careers progress over time, but also seeing how the movie changes in your eyes over time, because this one came out in 93. So we're talking almost 30 years ago.
We're not talking about that, but because that makes me feel really, really old. But, you know, you're right. Absolutely. And the mental health stuff, there's a couple parts where I kind of cringed.
Which ones?
And it was really more focused on Johnny Depp's character more than Mary Stuart Masterson. Like when I think it was his cousin said, oh, I had this guy living with me. And then Johnny Depp said, oh, I made him sleep under the table.
Under the sink or something like that. Yeah.
Under the sink. And the guy was like, oh, you need to take him because I don't want him. And he lost him in a card game. And I'm like going, in today's day and age, that would never fly. Well, in today's day and age, why did his parents send him to this guy who hated him, who didn't want him to do with? I mean, it was really odd. And the whole time I'm like,
but then again, it's kind of one of those, that type of thing could happen in the movies in the 80s and 90s. It could not fly today. However, there are things like that, unfortunately, still happening in society that we don't hear about until it hits the news.
Oh, no, it's very true. I was wondering, does his character have mental illness or is he just a hipster? I really couldn't figure it out. I'm like, I think that's the general idea of life. Mental illness or hipster?
Well, because he's decided at some point that making everybody laugh and making them happy was more important than his education because he can't read and write. And he kept getting thrown out of school for that. So I don't know if that's a hipster thing, but he lives his life. It's almost to me, not the cottage core, but like the people that decide to live in the 50s mindset and the 50s house and the 50s clothing today. Mm-hmm. It's that same kind of thing to me, but he's got almost that more artistic, you know, comedic side, not just, ooh, I like post-war modern, so I'm going to make my house and everything. I do that.
Right. So, I think it was interesting in that respect, but I thought it was a little, there's that, those couple moments I was like, ooh, you know, right. But at the same time, I thought they handled it really well in general for the 90s. They didn't especially release for the again. 90s. Yeah, especially for the 90s. And again, not saying what Mary Stuart Masterson was diagnosed with was a smart choice.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it was schizophrenia. I couldn't figure that out in my head. I was, oh, it's sort of schizophrenia. But I don't know.
They ever give you anything definitive enough that you can figure it out, or they just pick like kind of, you know, just chose different bits of different things. But at the same time, seeing, you know, the caretaker side of it and a loving family member, I mean, it didn't say how old they were when the parents died, but the pictures that they flash back to her, it shows that she always kind of had issues.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, that was his charge. He was willing to take care of her no matter what. And a lot of caretakers are overlooking. Jeez.
They're overlooking.
Overlooking. The
caretakers are overlooking.
Talk good for somebody who writes for a living.
Michigan, what can I say?
Holy crap. But they're, you know, people overlook what they do in their lives and what they give up for other people. So, you know, that's a nice part to see too, because I don't know, I'm sure at this stage in your life, just like in mine, several of my friends have become over care or whatever for family members. They're taking over the care of their parents or children or grandchildren, Lord help us. So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. It was nice to see that side of it as well.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Aidan Quinn did actually a good job. I'm not a huge fan. He's fine. He was fine in Practical Magic. He was fine in Weeds. He was fine in a lot of things I've seen him in, but this actually, looking back, I thought this was one of his better movie roles. He had a little bit more of a range than I've seen him before. He was usually plays like the, I am a man and I am stagnant and I will, you know, steadfast. And he did that here, but he had a little bit more of a level, which I actually liked.
Yeah. So
it kind of softened him a little bit, which I thought was really good. Yeah. But he doesn't usually do those kind of roles. So I kind of like that.
Maybe he was trying to be the heartthrob for a while and then just kind of went, that's not for me, and went into the roles that we're more used to him in now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense, you know. And Mary Stuart Masterson, she did a good job as well. I thought she did a fine job. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that role was supposed to be Winona Ryder.
Ooh.
And I think she was cast. I think she dropped out because her and Johnny Depp were dating. I think it was before breakup and they broke up and then she dropped out. Don't quote me on it, but I believe that's true.
If that's the case, I mean, it would have been a completely, totally different movie.
Yes.
It really would have. And I mean, Winona has her whole mental movie later with Girl Interrupted.
Good movie. Besides the Angelina Jolie factor, who just walked in and said, mine, Winona Ryder still held her own in that movie. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot when you're up against that, the fireball that was Angelina in that movie.
But wasn't it also wasn't that Winona's first role really after all of her legal battles too? Wasn't that right about that same time?
I don't know.
I think that was one of the first ones that she kind of came back on the scene. Unless that was right before she had those issues. I'm not quite sure. It's been a while.
I'm not sure. I have to see that again. I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah. We have that one on our system. That's the joy of this. Most of the movies, well, except the ones you choose, are on our system already.
Well, what can I say? I like some oddball movies.
Apparently, which is going to make this, I mean, I'm a little more mainstream than you. Mm-hmm. So it's going to make it a little interesting.
Well, okay, so my movie
was Party Girl from 1995, not 1958. Which, when you said Party Girl and I looked it up and it said 1958, I was like, what did I agree to do? Because I'm not usually a huge fan of the really, really old classic Hollywood movies. But then you said Parker Posey and I looked it up and I have never heard of the movie before this. So I have my suspicions why this is your favorite, one of your favorites.
One of my favorites.
So this is 1995, where she goes from being a party girl to falling in love with a halal guy. I think it's halal, or is it kebabs? But
Habaganoush seltzer. I guess it's falafel. I don't know.
It's Lebanese food, I believe.
Lebanese, yes.
Yeah. And then finds her passion to become a librarian. So, okay. Tell me why this is your favorite movie, Michael.
Well, it's one of my favorites.
Okay.
Because first off, I thought it was the first film, which was one of the reasons I picked it. It was the first film to actually stream on the internet.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first. Oh, it was okay. It was a promotion that they did. And Parker Posey introduced the movie. And it was obviously the early days of the internet. And she introduced it with the director. And they did the whole streaming thing for the film. Because it was an independent film that could do stuff like that. This movie in and of itself is such a quirky,
bit of a mess,
fun movie. There, and it is flawed. Don't get me wrong. There's some flaws. There's some character choices. I was like, okay, even watching it now, I'm like, oh, it's flawed. But Parker Posey is so fun. And it's her, these are the roles I think that she's so good at, kind of like the bitchy stuck up girl you don't know that gets a heart. And it's really great. And I love that the 90s allowed these little films to kind of exist. And I think it was only a section of time. It was only from like the early to mid 90s.
Yeah.
And you had these little fun independent films that would never, even today, I don't even think they could get done with the low budget. I just, you know, it's just not there. Because people want
the budget on that one was. I wonder if they tell us that on IMDb.
Oh, it has to be very low, but
probably.
It was such a quirky story. When you have a movie about a former party girl who lost her mom and is dealing with the death of her mom, and a woman who was her friend, her mom's friend, who's a librarian, kind of insults, you know, kind of says, "Hey, your life is going nowhere, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't even be a librarian." And she's like, "I can be a librarian." And
okay, then she says, a godmother,
"I'm gonna do it."
She was horrible to her.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Absolutely horrible. And, and then you have a party girl trying to prove herself by becoming a librarian and learning this skill in a very flawed, fun way. And she meets a street vendor who sells Baba Ganoush and sells her and kind of falls in love with him, who's outside of her little realm of, you know, the 1990s party scene. Yeah, and it's kind of fun. It's just such a great little story. And at the end, it kind of gets all wrapped up kind of nice. And, you know, it's just such a cute story. And, it showed voguing before Madonna did it. It was like, it had that 1990s party scene where, you know, they're all doing blow and all this other stuff, but it still seemed a little safe for some reason. Not like it does now. Yeah, because it's Hollywood. It just seemed... It just had a whole different vibe, I think, than what you see now.
Yeah.
I think now the world has gotten a little more cynical, even since the 90s, and everything you see is kind of like just so dark. And this movie kind of paints it in a fun experimental way.
Which, you know, I will say one thing that cracked me up in the movie is like when the godmother made the comment, "Well, you can't be a librarian because you have to get a master's of library science."
Yes.
So that cracked me up because one of my friends from design school left design school and went and got her master's in library science and became a librarian. And
that's hilarious.
Like, why did you spend 4 years being tortured to go be a librarian? It's like, why didn't you go that route originally? So, but a lot of people don't know that. They think people are just, you know, tossing books on a shelf. Although the Dewey Decimal System, thank God that's gone. It's mostly not used. But, you know, it was that made me laugh. But then the whole, like, where was that supposed to be? Was it supposed to be in LA or New York?
That was New York.
New York.
That was
okay.
Very much New York. Yeah.
So, I mean, I watched that a couple weeks ago. You were out playing on your trip. So, you know, I know, but you had a good time. So that's all that matters.
I did.
The one thing that, you know, watching it in the back of my mind, and I do the same thing with Friends and a bunch of other shows, I'm thinking, even though she's living basically in this warehouse, how the hell are you affording this in New York City? Even in the 90s, you know, she has no money. She can't pay rent. So
she was selling her clothes, her designer clothes, to pay the rent.
Her designer
then
clothes.
That she would steal
from
other parties and not let anyone know.
Right.
And then
but
then
even that, would that cover your rent in New York City?
I mean, it was a warehouse. I don't know.
I mean, having friends just kind of move in or stay with her or whatever. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, and of course there was that 90s, you know, a little bit of dating violence scene against her. But I mean, thankfully it wasn't like the John Hughes ones that just not only imply it just goes on.
Yes.
You know, so it was handled, but very interesting choice.
And it was a really, the fun thing is, okay, so that was Liev Schreiber
from
Scream and Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
Obviously Parker Posey from Dazed and Confused, Josie and the Pussycats, countless other movies. You also had Guillermo Diaz from Scandal and Weeds. It had a great little fun cast of at that point unknowns.
Yeah.
Who were kind of like in this little realm. I enjoyed the fact that every one of the supporting characters, even if they got a tiny little subplot, they got something.
Like
even her gay best friend, he was trying to meet the guy, he finally meets him.
The guy that he can't remember his name.
The guy that he can't remember his name. I thought that was funny as hell.
I was like,
and then the
I mean, that's very fitting if you've ever hung out and been at a lot of gay clubs. You know, that tracks.
Especially in the 90s.
Yes.
And then the club owner who, like, all of a sudden, that was the one plot that kind of got a little short thrifted, but at the same time, it was kind of fun. Guillermo Diaz, who's trying to be a DJ.
Oh my god.
And then she's like, imitate a cat puking, and he does. I love that part. And she's it's a band name. He's like,
right? Oh.
And he's just a big old dork, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and he's trying to be a DJ and getting with one of the dancers.
Yeah,
which does that dancer even have like a last name, or is it just her first name through the movie?
I think it's just her first name.
Oh, okay.
But it was just, it really was reminiscent of a specific moment in time, a specific era. And I that's why I really enjoyed it. And I think when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's just so fun. It's just, and I thought Parker did such a great job. It's funny. It's like, even now I'm like, hello. You can quote these little lines from this movie. Actually, when I met Parker Posey, I had her sign my Party Girl DVD. And I was like, I quote this movie all the time. And she goes, I knew when I made it, it'd be imminently quotable. And I was like, I love you right now. You are my best friend.
Well, I told you, the movie I remember her from, like when I see her face, I think the sweetest thing. I know, and you hate that, but that's what it, but it's that same energy she brings to that role. It's that little bit of chaotic energy, but you know, and she's Judy. She's the bride, but she's not the main character, and she's, you know, not in it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I remember.
When you see Dazed and Confused, because Becky has not seen Dazed and Confused, I would like to point this out. One of the best films of all time. That movie where she played Darla, she had the same, she kind of took those characters and amped them up to like 50 and just was like amazing. So amazing. But she has that style.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you and I have talked about it before, but like actors that have their kind of style that they bring to every character.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be what she brings, just different levels of that.
I concur. And that's why I do love. I this movie is like a guilty little pleasure favorite. And it's something you can put on and kind of get taken back to a different time. And that's why I kind of like it. It was like, oh yeah, okay. That was pre-college. That was, you know, when you're looking at it going, wow, the world is open and new. And that was kind of like that for me.
So one thing that did strike me about it, I mean, it came out, what, 95?
Mm-hmm.
Is, and I mean, maybe because of how old I was at the time, I was not used to, like, movies that came out that time, you did not have a big gay representation. That movie definitely does.
Yes.
And I mean, it wasn't until I was much older. And then it's always just the quirky gay best friend.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually have a role. And this movie focuses and gives them, like you said, it gives them their own story.
Yeah. And that, you know, like Even some of the supporting things, she's in the club.
Yeah.
And the one character comes up and she's like, "What's up, Buttercup?" And she goes, "The rent, I'm not paying." It's like, boom, you get these little lines, yeah, these little moments that are fun, representative, and not a cliche necessarily, especially for that time. And that was, I thought, a really cool thing, which I, when I first saw it, never noticed. But now you're looking back going, you know, it wasn't just a gay best friend. He had his own little subplot. Yeah. He had his own moments and he had his own character, and he wasn't, you know, he loved, you know, and it was nice because he actually cared about her as a friend. Yes. It wasn't these, you know, where you would see a lot of the surface, you know, even if you did see a gay representation or LGBT in any way, it would be surface. He actually had heart and he cared about her a lot, which is kind of fun, you know, and it really worked really well for the film, I thought. Like, it really added that. And that was New York at the time. It really was that slice of New York.
It's that stage in our lives too. I mean, early 20s, where you're finding yourself as well as your friendship group and all of that, mm-hmm, and figuring out who you want to be. And yeah, we've all been that poor student, you know, or poor person, mm-hmm, who can't make rent. We've been there. I know I have. So, you know, it's this weird little time in the 90s, but it's also this weird little time in life that a lot of people, yeah, can relate to. I mean, but it's
absolutely
a weird movie. So
I don't know if it's weird. It's quirky. Yeah. And that's why I liked it. I think, you know, I like those little movies that were able to survive and get made. And this is kind of one of them. And you know, they made a TV show.
Based I did on not know film. That.
Star it only didn't last only last like six episodes on Fox, and it starred Ben Stiller's ex, Christine Marsha Brady from the Brady Bunch movie.
Okay.
Christine Taylor. It only lasted six episodes. I've been trying to find it just out of curiosity because I didn't see it.
Was it called Party Girl?
Yeah.
Doesn't come up on IMDb.
Oh. No, I mean, yeah, I remember the poster, and I was like, oh, I should watch that. Never did. But yeah, it was on there. It was a little TV show. It did kind of hit a little, it didn't get into the zeitgeist, but it did get a little bit, you know, and it really did. I think it kind of launched Parker Posey too, because then she started playing similar variations of the same character after this movie.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, if it works and it keeps getting her jobs, why not?
Heck yeah. I love Parker Posey. She's one of my favorites.
I was
going to
say, you love her. So you're
Scream
talking.
Scream 3. We were talking Scream 3. People bash that film a lot from the horror perspective because it's a little too comedy heavy. I personally love Scream 3. I love all the Screams 1 through 3. Let's not include 4.
Jason loves those movies too. And I should send you, we have a ghost face, that little statue. And I've been hiding it on the shelves in different places every time I dust. So you'll never know where he'll show up. So I'm trying to find this movie. So this was early 90s, right? Or mid 90s?
Yeah, it should have been.
Party Girl TV series. She played Mary.
Yeah.
Christine Taylor did.
This is the crap that's stored in my brain. I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I can remember that Christine Taylor was in Party Girl, the series on Fox in 1995. Why?
Four episodes. That could be your problem.
Oh, see, I was wrong.
But that's okay. I don't know where you can find it, but
probably nowhere. Yeah. I can try BitTorrent, but I don't know.
I don't know. You got a whole
YouTube actually.
What's that?
I could check YouTube.
They might be there. I was trying to tell a friend about two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Oh, with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I was trying to, I'm like, you know, that's where he's from. Like, that was his first kind of major role. And she's like, what are you even talking about? And I was like, our age difference is not that much. Like, come on.
Well, like, show lasted a long time.
It did. But I don't think at the time I knew who he was. I just knew, you know, he was cute. And I enjoyed the show.
Well, and he wasn't like the buff Ryan Reynolds.
No, he's the kind of dorky, but he's still quirky. So
it's on YouTube. I just found it. I'm going to watch it.
Not right now.
Anyway,
Anyway, put that on your watch later.
I will. So those are two of our favorites. And it kind of shows a little bit about both of us and I think what we both kind of like. And I think that's kind of fun that it is so different and it's such a unique perspective on film. Because I think that's really what we all have, what everyone has. They have their own perspective. And it's like, yeah. And I really love, I mean, I love a lot of different movies, whether they're like, you know, period dramas to over the top comedies. You know, it just doesn't really matter. Lately, I like the comedies because the world's a little dark. But other than that, you know,
it is a little dark. You said you want to see the Eyes of Tammy Faye.
I do. I do want to see Eyes of Tammy Faye. I know. There's some fun things coming out, I think, that, you know, is going to be fun to see. I'm trying to remember. I do want to see Dune, and I do want to see I want to see Dune to see if they can actually make a movie of Dune. I don't believe they can. Well, see, but that's a whole other subject.
My boyfriend loves the original one.
Really?
We also have very different tastes in movies. So we'll just preface it that. I believe it's in his collection, and it's one that I don't know that I've ever seen the original one. And I'm interested kind of to see where they're going to take it and see if it's going to be decent, but that comes out next month. I think it's
next month, so we'll save that for another time because we can actually compare all the versions of Dune and see if it actually works, because it hasn't worked before.
Wait, you're gonna make me watch the original?
Oh, and the miniseries. So anyway, now I think and the benefit is I have already seen them all, so
you'll have
I don't
to watch
need to
them
do
again
any work. I really don't.
Yes, you really do. So
one thing that Becky and I were talking about in terms of film is, and I've been wrestling with this question. So I was actually kind of curious to see what everybody thinks about this, is a question that I've been posing to a lot of friends. And my opinion on it keeps changing. And is there, the question being, are there movie stars anymore? And I don't mean that as in, oh, do you know their names? You know, Tom Hanks, you know, Mel Gibson, whatever those people may be. Maybe not Mel Gibson. But are there stars that you will go pay your $20 in a movie theater only because they're in a movie? And it's kind of been changing. My opinion on this has been changing. I really want to hear what Becky says about this, because my opinion initially was no, there are no more stars. And that's it. However, with streaming, things kind of change my perspective on it. Because in streaming, it's like you go to a video. It's almost like back in the day when you go to a video store. And yes, I just made myself seem really, really old.
I used to work at one.
Me too. And a theater. My job definitely went into all that fun stuff. But I just kind of felt like it's like you go to a shelf and you're flipping through Netflix or HBO Max or Peacock or Paramount Plus, Hulu, or all these rando streaming services, and Amazon, actually, as an example. Would I have watched The Tomorrow Wars if Chris Pratt wasn't in it? Would I have watched the new, that Kate Beckinsale movie where she's an electric girl? Zip or something. Something, I don't know. I haven't watched it yet, because I love it.
Oh, we did. I haven't seen it. But, you know, and I asked Jason about that because, you know, you had brought up this as a topic, and he said for him, he would have watched Tomorrow War even without Chris Pratt because the concept was interesting. Now, I like sci-fi, but for me, not enough that movie would have pulled me in.
Right.
So, you know, some of them, yes, no, you know, but then we have all of these movies that Netflix has picked up that has major names coming out this fall. And I know they're doing it because...
Sorry.
Bless you. I know they're doing that because a lot of people are still at home, you know, or not willing to go into theaters like I do. So, you know, there's, what is it? The Harder They Fall coming out, where there was...
Yep.
There's Damon Wayans Jr., Deanne Cole, Regina King, Idris Elba. You know, there's one with Jennifer Lawrence coming out on Netflix. If they were just Joe Schmoes, would you watch it?
Right. And that's a question. I don't know. So, and here's my thing. I love Angelina Jolie. She's absolutely one of my favorites. I don't care what anyone says. I do. I love her. I think she's really always fun to watch. And Wanted, Salt, oh my God, she did a great job directing Unbroken. And then there was also The Changeling, which is really great.
That one drama. Was good. I mean, I don't mind her, but I won't put her as one of my favorites. I don't know that I would say I have a favorite actor or actress anymore. I mean, there's so many and so many movies we watch all the time.
Right. Gia, I mean, she's been so good. But when she had her new movie out, it was free on HBO Max. I didn't see it. I was like, every time I kept going, I was like,
But was it?
No.
Was it just the movie topic didn't appeal to you?
I don't know. I just every time I was going to watch it, I was like, all right, I gotta watch Angie's in it. And I just was like, no, I don't care. And I just it drifted off of my radar and I still haven't seen it. And that's kind of shocking because I have seen a lot of crappy movies that she did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went down the line. I mean, there's pretty much nothing she's been in that I haven't seen. And I just didn't want to see this. You know, even to the point where Malignant, which looked terrible on HBO Max, that was directed by James Wan.
Yeah.
No stars in it, but I like James Wan's directing from The Conjuring and this, and I still looked at it and I was like, it looks terrible. I'm not watching it. So,
but is that because there's just an overload of movies being released all the time?
I don't know, because you know that we're home as much as we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to be out 5 days a week doing stuff. And now that we're home, we watch more content, you know, during dinner or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But so I feel like we have more time, and yet it still seems like there's nothing on.
Yeah. And we're going back. We started going back and watching older series or ones that we hadn't picked up right away when others did. Like we just started Riverdale. So
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's not horrible.
What season are you in?
One.
Oh, this is the best. Wait till you, I stopped. This is, I couldn't handle this season. I'm officially out.
Are they in the same, aren't they in the same universe as Sabrina?
They are. And point of fact, I love my Sabrina.
I know.
They are in the same universe. Riverdale has jumped the shark 17 times now.
Okay.
And it's jumped the shark, met the shark, played poker with the shark. They've worn party hats.
I mean, like
they're
I said,
doing
they
the baby shark, and it doesn't make any damn sense at this point. I mean,
but does it always have to make sense?
I think there is a plausible level of believability. And I mean, when you know, it got to a point where the actors were like, "I don't understand what's happening," and they said so in interviews, and they were like, "I don't know. Betty's in a cult, and there's a gargoyle creature that keeps popping up.
Spoilers.
And then now they're in a bunker. It really doesn't matter. I mean, and literally, they graduate high school, stop talking to each other, but yet I'll come back to be teachers. It's so stupid. Anyway,
but there is a
double
lot.
Tracking.
There's a lot of different, I mean, I'm surprised still with the amount of movies that are actually releasing in theaters, which we know 90% of that is so they can be on the dockets for awards. So, you know, they have to have theater time. But there's still a ton of movies coming out on Netflix and everything constantly. And, you know, there's a new movie you can watch every week, basically, even without leaving home.
And that leads me to the point is, if you see a movie on Netflix and you see someone you recognize, are you more willing to click that link to give it a shot than if it is someone you don't care about or you don't know?
For me, that usually doesn't matter. Usually it's the type of story that matters. Like I said,
if you see Johnny Depp in a little box and it's called Bobby Blows Kisses, okay, Bobby Blows Kisses, and you see Johnny Depp, would you go, I could watch that? Or would you say, no?
No. But I mean, I'm not like the Volt one or whatever it was. I'm not a huge sci-fi. I mean, I watch sci-fi. I don't mind them. But I'm not going to go, ooh, let me jump in and watch that. Like, it has to be something that really draws me to it. And the whoever's you know, the main head in the graphic isn't always going to be the person that draws me in. Because like I said, there's so many out there right now.
There really is. That's why I think, so before, like when I talked about it, I said there were no movie stars. Like that, I mean, using Johnny Depp as your example, because we talked about Benny and June earlier, it was like Mordecai, he had Dark Shadows, all these bombs. And Dark Shadows, I feel unfairly so, but whatever, it's a whole other story.
No, we enjoy that one because it's a little too campy.
It's, yeah, exactly.
But it's entertaining.
It's entertaining, but at the same time, if he can't open a film, is he worth that price point? And if people aren't going to the movies to see a movie he's in, does that mean that there's no stars anymore?
But does it matter? Before legal troubles, Johnny Depp?
Well, I'm just saying
the last Pirates, Johnny Depp?
I mean, you could say Jennifer Lawrence. You could say Harrison Ford.
Jennifer Lawrence is at the point that she can pick and choose the films that she wants to be in, and they can be artistic or whatever. She's got this Netflix one coming up.
Right.
You know, and I mean, Passengers didn't do that great. What was the one where she, was it Joy?
Where she yes. Played,
that one I watched on a plane on the way back from LA. It was okay, you know, but
would you see it?
Just because she was in it?
No.
For
so you me, saw it because you're like, oh, that looked interesting.
I don't know how many flights I'd been on that year, and I was running out of movies. So that's why I saw that one.
So you were a prisoner of the tin airplane, and you had to watch something.
Except now it's been almost 2 years since I've been on an airplane. So...
See, I'm still... So that's interesting, because to me, before we talked, my opinion before was actually having a star in something meant something more, because you only have a second to grab someone's attention, and having someone recognizable in that role makes someone go, oh, so-and-so has a new movie, like Chris Hemsworth, let's say, you know, he had that Netflix movie not too long ago.
That we turned off our way through.
I didn't see it, but I still heard about it
as
recognition. And I was like, oh, I should watch that at some point. It looked okay. But I still never watched it, but because he was in it, it kind of was on my radar at least.
Okay. So a good example of all of this, talk about Cry Macho. You've seen at least the trailers for it, right? The new Clint Eastwood movie. Is Clint Eastwood's name big enough to get people to watch this movie? He's been in Western since the 60s.
Mm-hmm. He's a good director. I mean,
Gran Torino, he should have left it.
Ended. He should have left it.
That should have been it. That should have been it. That's, you know, but this one, it was almost depressing seeing him in that role, because he is not who he used to be. But can you expect him to be at 91 years old?
No, I mean, the fact that he's still out there making movies is pretty impressive.
It is, but he shouldn't be. Try to watch the movie. And even Western fans, like I told my parents to watch it because my dad grew up loving Western movies. And he even told my mom when he saw the trailer for it, he's like, this is, it doesn't even look good. So at what point does the name stop becoming the draw for the movie?
Well, yeah. Would you have seen the movie without him?
No. Because I'm not really a Westerns fan.
So let's say there's a genre. What's your favorite genre in general? Trying to get us boiled down here.
Good luck. I don't know. I like comedies. I don't mind, you know, some dramas, rom-coms, stuff like that. I like historical fiction. You know, I'll watch sci-fi. I'll watch almost everything, and even sometimes horror, you know.
So would you say there's a rom-com coming out starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan as two people who are missing each other by mere seconds in love, and they're wandering the streets and they just pass each other on the way, and you know they're destined to be together because they love the same things and talk about the same things and they want the same things. And that's a whole movie.
So this is the third version of You've Got Mail, Harry Met Sally, all of that.
Everything they've been in, exactly.
Yeah, so okay.
That's on Netflix. And because it stars Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, would you click it?
I would. That one I would, because I'd want to see how they updated it from the last time with the AOL sounds of You've Got Mail. You know, to see how, if they still have that connection that they were able to portray on a screen.
So for that instance,
yes,
it does matter who that was one, in it.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to take those two and take that same couple that's, you know, been in three or four movies with that same plot together, and you do it now, yeah, that one I would probably see.
So would you see a movie starring Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, where she is a high-powered executive and Richard Gere is a downtrodden
probably not,
former
no.
sports no. person, and she picks him up? So you wouldn't like that, because you didn't like Pretty Woman.
No, because I will tell you, Pretty Woman is not one of my favorite movies. I know, which is ironic, because that when the Broadway shows start up here next month, that mm-hmm. is the first show coming, and they offered me tickets, and I was like, no, nah, I'm going to skip that.
Well, okay. So going back to the Tom Hanks example, my Lord, this is hard. At least in that instance, the fact that it starred Tom Hanks made you click on it.
Well, it would be Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Now, if they tried that Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts, I'd be like, that could be an interesting combination, but maybe. But those are the movies that's like the ones that come on the streaming, even if they have the big names, are the ones that I will put on when, you know, they're having man night and playing games in the other room. And it's not something that I have to pay attention to. So it's not always something that I want to focus on.
But you would pay, you would click on it. It doesn't matter if you're focusing. It matters to streaming if it's on your television.
When it comes to the streaming things, I mean, they purchase them, they pay the stars, whatever. Do they pay the stars by how many views it gets, like they do box office?
It depends on who they are.
And you who know, contract, I'm sure, or what their contract says.
Yeah, and per contract. I'm sure Sandra Bullock, when she did, you know, Bird Box, she had X amount up front and probably X amount back end, or Netflix just made a deal. You know, yeah. But that movie had to cost a lot because of her fee in general. And I think it was, in that instance, I watched it because Sandra Bullock was in it and it looked interesting. It was a combination of the two.
And we watched it because it looked interesting, but I don't know that it was because she was the main role. If they had put somebody else in that role, it would have still been an interesting concept.
So if they put, you know, let's say, I'm trying to think of a peer of Sandra Bullock. Well, let me less star power. Okay, let's go back to Julianne Moore.
Okay.
Since she was in Benny and June. If Julianne Moore was in it, and you know, picture the poster, you know, all that. And, and Julianne Moore, while an amazing actress, doesn't have the box office powers that Bullock has.
No, she does not.
Would you have clicked on it?
Yeah, because the story was still interesting. I see. So for
I don't know if I would have.
Well, see, and that's, again, we have very different taste.
I like them both.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it depends on the story. And for me, a lot of it is the story. You will also, I don't know if you figured this out in our other talks or not, like I am horrible, unless they're like a big powerhouse name, I am horrible at remembering people's names. So, whereas You're kind of inundated in it over there. Meet and greets. You're there a lot more. We have people coming here. We have somebody coming soon. A couple people interesting coming soon. So, yeah, you know, but we're not as big of a market, so they don't come here as often.
Right.
But like we will be watching a movie, and I'm like, who is that guy, and what was he in? So a lot of the time, I will bring up IMDb just so I can, you know, remember names and figure out what else I saw that person at.
I understand that concept. It's just interesting to me. I don't know if this has solved my issue, probably not. But maybe it is that streaming has no effect on who is in a film if people click on it. Because you would watch, think about like, you know, when you would watch a little movie and you're like, oh, look, it's not, back in the day, you know, it wasn't Party Girl, it was Party Dude. and starring Cuba Gooding Jr., right? Uh-huh. In the same kind of role and remix, but it was like, because this one was in theaters and then this one was a straight to video,
you're right,
quote, which is now straight to streaming in some level.
I was gonna say, and people just pick it up right now.
It's different now, but
well, yeah, because of COVID,
right? Well, in general, you know, streaming has changed so much. I'm just using that as a,
yeah,
you know, but you would see that back in the day, so people would actually pick up the box, the movie rental box, to check it out because they're like, oh, so-and-so's in it, haha, this would be great, when in reality they were duped because it's a crappy movie with just someone in it,
and then they had to pay for that
day, and they had to pay for it.
But here's the difference too, if you're thinking back to like when you and I worked in movie theaters or movie video stores, there were a lot less mega stars at that time. Like there were, you didn't have as many outlets and as many places for them to get the movies out, but there were, like, you can remember, say if we're talking 90s, you know, mm-hmm. the heartthrobs, there were a handful of heartthrob guys and heartthrob girls and all that, you know, but there wasn't like as many as you have now, and you didn't have YouTube stars and TikTok stars and all those people just on the scene at the same time. I mean, Hollywood would choose, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's the heartthrob for the next five movies. You know, they got a little better than, you know, when Kirk Douglas was it, but they, you know, we've got more options, I think, now.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting, too. I don't know. I think it'll still be a conversation, because I don't know if the idea of the movie star is dead. And I also don't know if having someone recognizable in a role helps the general public go see something.
I don't know either.
Like, let's say It, for example.
Yeah.
It, the first one, not the second one. And even the second one to some example, because, you know, I don't think James McAvoy and Jessica Chastain are super things. I mean, that was established IP with Stephen King.
Yeah.
But there was no stars. There was no one in it. And it still made, it was the most successful horror movie made, I think, at that point. And with no one in it. So.
But again, I mean, going like currently, if we go to the movie theater and we go to a movie screening, the amount of people that are there just because they want to see a movie, they don't care who's in it, is amazing to me. Like, I don't know if, I don't think you go to the screenings locally when they have them, right?
Not really.
Okay. Well, ours locally, they have, you can get free passes from GoFobo or other places, sometimes on my site, whatever. But these people will be there at 11 in the morning for a 7 p.m. movie.
That's insanity.
And they camp out. And it doesn't matter if it's a kid's cartoon or the next blockbuster. It doesn't matter. These people are, they just want to see a movie. And I find
just
that
just buy a ticket,
right? Right. Instead of waste, I'm not going into that. But yeah. So for some people, I think it's just they like the movie theater experience, and we didn't have that for over a year. But I also think that some people, they just want to see a movie and they don't care what it is or who's in it. I know you and I, we would go to a movie and we'd choose specifically a movie, not just because we got free passes, you know.
Yeah, I reject things constantly. Yes.
Whereas I sit through most of them, but you know, I've seen some really interesting ones over the past year, thankfully a lot of them at home, but you know. So you know, it's, I don't know, it's really one of those kind of odd concepts. I don't know if it drives people to it, but at the same time, you're not going to get, you don't have to watch it right when it comes out. You can watch it anytime. You can watch it in 2 years if it's on that streaming network. So.
Yeah. I mean, I guess films have less of an urgency than television. You know, like if Miss Maisel comes out, I want to watch Miss Maisel, the new season, because I love that show. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of like, you know, if Stranger Things comes out, you want to see it before it gets spoiled or whatever it may be.
Like when the new Dexter series?
Cannot wait if they make the last season not exist, I'll be so happy.
I know. But, I'm so excited for that. That's a perfect little birthday present for me because it comes out right about then. So.
Right. Yeah, it's so such a great thing. Well, I think this has been an extremely fun conversation, Miss Becky. Thank you for chatting with me about this.
We do have one problem. What are we watching for next week, Michael?
We don't know yet.
I mean, we did movies we love. Do you want to do the movies we hate?
There's too many.
Okay, but you can name one, right?
Movies I hate?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can name one. I mean, there's so, I mean, I hate a lot of movies. But the ones that I love are always more prominent in my brain. So right now, I'm just like, I don't know.
But I mean, there's got to be at least one that you hate, but you're willing to watch one more time to discuss it.
It's almost like more like movies to revisit, you know, that should have been good. I can torture you with one that I really want to see again that I liked, but it's flawed, and it should, because it's a scary fucking movie.
Is it the one we never finished when I was there?
No, you know what? I'm actually, okay, so here's what I think we should do. I think we should pick movies that we know are flawed, but we still enjoy.
Okay.
I'm going to pick a movie that's going to scare the crap out of you.
Oh,
it's called Event Horizon.
Oh, man.
It's really a disturbing movie. It's psychologically disturbing. It's Paul W.S. Anderson's, in my humble opinion, because I don't think he's very good, his best movie. And it stars Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill.
I may have seen it in the past, but probably blocked it out.
And Jack Noseworthy, I think, was also in it. It was such a disturbing film in some level. Like, it's really scary, but yet not scary at the same time. Like, you can tell, why does a character disappear halfway through the movie? And what you could tell it was messed with, you know, that it wasn't what it could have been, totally with the director's vision. So I really do want to see it again. And so this is perfect timing. Yay. Look at that.
Yay for you.
Yay for me.
Okay. So one, and you better be in a good mood when you start this movie. That's all I'm going to say. There's two movies like this that I really enjoy, but you have to be pretty much top of game to watch them because it will screw you up a little. Well, and the one I am not giving you is Requiem for a Dream.
Love that movie.
I do too. But if you are not having a good day, it is not a good movie to watch.
But that's not flawed.
Oh, that's pretty flawed.
Well, I mean, the characters are flawed. I mean, the movie itself, like as a craft.
Yes.
Like, you can tell it's flawed. That movie I thought was actually very well done.
It is, but it's one I haven't watched in years because anytime that I think of watching it, I'm just like, ooh, I don't know that I'm ready to be depressed today.
No, dude, it's so depressing.
It is so depressing. But the one that I'm going to say is flawed and then you are going to watch is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
How is that flawed?
Oh, there's ways.
I'm curious. I love that movie.
I do too. But
I want to know why you think it's a flawed.
That's next week.
I'm talking craft. Like,
I know.
How is this a flawed movie?
I will tell you next week. We can't discuss why it's flawed now.
I want to change mine, I think. So now I want to do two.
No.
Flawed movies that
I mean, it's also your fault that I watched Lost Boys last week.
How
is it your fault? Because Jason found out. Yes, I'd never
seen. One of the best movies of all time.
That's debatable. It's entertaining, but I wouldn't put it as one of my best and favorite movies.
I've got to go. We all. I just don't. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm really sorry. This is sad.
Is this our first and last podcast?
If you don't like Lost Boys. I don't think
I didn't society say I didn't can handle like it.
My mother, I made my mom watch it. So we went to, as a paraphrase, I went to the Lost Boys boardwalk where they shot the film. And I made my mom watch it. And she was like, well, that was really cute. And I was like, cute.
But see, cute. Okay. But you saw it when it first came out, right?
I saw it as a kid.
Yeah. I seen it now. I won't say how old I am. I've seen it at this age as an adult. And I can see where your mom says that it's cute. Not that it's a cute movie, but compared to the vampire movies that we have now, it's barely vampire. Well, it's kind of more popcorn-y than it is compared to what we have now.
Yes.
So I can understand.
Well, okay. But it's not trying to be horror. It's trying to be a horror. It's a horror comedy. And I mean,
so do we want to change our topics to horror comedy? Because I've got one of those I could throw at you.
No, I think the flawed films are interesting. Because I want to see why you think Eternal Sunshine is flawed. That's kind of crazy. but when you look at Lost Boys, just because I have to defend this film,
it's a horror comedy. It's a bad film, Michael.
Well, it's a horror comedy, first off. So you can't go into it looking at it like, oh, well, it's... In the modern day lens, I mean, Corey Haim and the Frog Brothers, I thought perfectly cast.
Yes.
They're perfectly cast. And there's that weird Joel Schumacher gay tension, built in, which I think is hilarious. Like, what teenage boy has a picture of Rob Lowe half naked on his ball?
I was questioning that. Like, I was like,
and this scene in the bathtub where he's singing along to, that old time thing, and his brother comes in. And there's a scene where Corey Haim is like right next to Jason Patrick's neck. And they're like, I'm like, brothers don't really do that, but okay. Whatever. It's fun. And there's the shirtless saxophone dude like going down. Which, I mean, it's.
Did you see him on the Netflix series?
No.
There was a series that they released sometime over the past year, and it was, Worn Stories, and it's talking about their favorite piece of clothing that means something to them. Uh-huh. And he's on it, because I was like, when we were watching that, I'm like, it came on the screen, I was like, I know that dude.
That's amazing. There's so many. We could do a whole podcast about homosexual references in Joel Schumacher films. Because let me tell you,
it's a whole other topic. Yes.
I mean, because God bless Joel Schumacher. However, wow. Love you, brother. rest in peace. But Lost Boys in and of itself, the whole thing was just so...
it's still... I didn't say it was a bad movie, but it wouldn't be one of my favorite movies. That's all. But again, seeing it in my 30s versus seeing it as a kid makes a difference.
That's true. I just watched, I made someone watch Neverending Story now, and it was like they were bored as hell. And I was like,
I haven't seen that.
And now rewatching it, I kind of went, oh, wow, this really is flawed. But again, classic at the same time.
Yes. But it's still, when was the last time you'd seen it?
It had been a long time.
Yeah. But they move at a whole different pace than what movies now do. That's one of the movies I screened recently. Like, the opening was like a very old time, slow 3-minute zoom in of text. And I was like, what are we doing here? It's like, we're past this. It's like, movies don't do this anymore. What are we doing here?
What movie was it?
The Card Counter, the new Oscar Isaacs one, Scorsese.
Oh, okay. Oh, Scorsese.
That full review's on the site if you're interested.
What site is that, Becky? Geek99er.com? Yes, it is. Lovely.
Look at you pimping my site.
Why not?
I know.
I'm just a pimp. What can I say?
Well, eventually, you're going to have the website up for the podcast, correct?
Yes, we will have the website for the podcast. And all that goodness.
And we'll have the social up for it soon. When the podcast goes live, we'll put this video up on YouTube, because heaven help us. Mm. And then what else do we need? Oh, we need an email address.
We will. Yeah, we definitely want people to
so they can suggest send us some comments, topics, and then they can tell us how bad we are or what we think is junk and all of that, which whatever.
It's all good. We'll do one podcast. It'll be drunk talk. And then we'll just start doing shots. That'd be fun.
We could do movies and margaritas.
Movies and margaritas. Hmm. See? Lots of swearing.
I already marked that we might swear, so.
Well, thank everyone for thank you for joining us, if anyone actually has listened to this. And I'm actually going to be very curious to see what Becky says about Event Horizon.
Oh, God.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
So and next wait, time, is this whole podcast just so you can make me watch movies to torture me?
Sort of. Okay. So, listen, don't deny me the small pleasures in life. It's all I got.
You have a sister to do that to, don't you?
Yeah, and I do.
Okay, just making sure.
Hello. The
point. Huh?
As a side note, I made my sister, this is a long time ago, but when she was visiting me many, many eons ago, I made her watch Clue the movie.
I
thought for sure she's gonna hate this movie. Because you know, totally different era. Our age differences are very, very different. She's 10 years older than me.
Is she now? I thought it went the other way there.
Well, we don't even know. It's really up in the air.
We're just making up stuff now. Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. I look 10 years younger than her though, so that is the benefit. Ice cream.
You're not chasing a toddler.
Right. And I was kind of curious to see how she would react. And I was like halfway through, I'm like, I'm gonna turn this off. She hates it. And then she got tired because the time changed. And she said, I want to watch the end of that movie. I really liked it. And she started going out about how much she liked it. And I'm like, you didn't even get to the good part. So that was kind of fun. So I think that's it really
good.
Depends. I mean,
that one is a good movie. It is a good movie.
As is Lost Boys. Okay. So we're going to have this debate for the rest of our lives. And we thank you all for joining us, and we will see you soon. Please comment down below how much you hate us and how irrelevant this whole thing was, and what any other topics you want us to talk about, because we're happy. We want to hear feedback and all kinds of goodness. So, yay.
All right. Then we will see you guys next week.
Boom.
Bye.